Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Early voting is underway for the Super Tuesday primary election, and that will last until February 28th. Primary day is March 3rd. One of the local races that has attracted national attention is the election for the Democratic nomination for Congress in the 28th District. That covers South San Antonio to Laredo and over to McAllen. Henry Cuellar is the incumbent. He's being challenged by Jessica Cisneros. We're going to be joined live by Cisneros later in the program. Cuellar declined our invitation to come on the air live. I did interview him yesterday afternoon. I asked him why the voters in the South Texas Congressional District should send him back to Washington.
I've always been taught by my parents how to work hard and get the job done. And this is what I've been doing as a member of Congress. I've been able to work on making sure that we improve education, healthcare, and try to get transportation dollars. As the only Democrat in the Appropriations Committee from Texas, and actually the only Democrat for the surrounding five or six states, I work very hard to make sure that we bring those dollars. And I've been able to produce, for example, when I was in the state, I created the Texas Grant, which is the largest scholarship in Texas history. When I was in the state, I also authored the first children health insurance program at the Farias Elementary School here in Laredo, and of course, co-authored the statewide children health insurance program. So we're doing the same thing at the federal government. So bottom line is, I've been taught how to work hard and how to produce real results. And I thank my parents for teaching me a good work ethic.
This race has been getting a lot of attention. We see a lot of description of you in a lot of articles about how you are a conservative Democrat. Do you own that? Is that something that you think is accurate?
You know, certainly I'm a moderate Democrat. I think what we're seeing in Washington, and I see this from my opponent, is extreme radical positions. Either we saw that with the Tea Party with the Republicans when they were in the in the majority, and now that we're here, the Democrats in the majority, we're seeing people on the far left trying to purify and trying to get people that are just far left. Look, my job as a moderate is to look at how do we get the job done in Washington. I'm not out there to make political messaging. I'm out there to see how do I resolve the things, you know, on the border, border security, transportation. I sit on the defense appropriation, so I take my job seriously there when we look at the military bases in the San Antonio area. I sit as the vice chair of the Homeland Appropriation. Certainly, I have a big say-so on how we provide border security. And, of course, sitting on the third committee on appropriations, the Ag Subcommittee on Appropriations, and certainly that's making sure that the farmers and ranchers get their proper funding. But at the same time, as you know, Ag takes care of food banks and, of course, school lunches, and I certainly want to play a role in that.
Now, you have voted with the Trump administration 70% of the
That's
time.
That's wrong. Before you go any further,
okay.
That is a false position that they have been bring it up about 70%. That is absolutely wrong. So if you look up that information, that is absolutely wrong. Actually, if you look at the Georgetown ratings that they do, I'm actually the most bipartisan member of Congress. But the other side has just been saying the same lie over and over and over and over again, where now even the media is repeating that. I call that bipartisanship. They see that as something that's wrong, and again, it to me doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or Republican, House majority or president. I'm able to produce this. As Democrats, we've been able to produce, and this is why I've been able to get, you know, $100 million for SAWS, $61 million for Mission Reach there in San Antonio that we just announced. I was able to bring back the Summer Pell Grant back again. So I've been working on this, but people apparently, some of my opponents see this bipartisan work as something wrong, and they keep repeating the same lie over and over again.
Okay, so anything else that's not correct, please, let's get it correct. So, is this correct that the Koch political network, you're the first Democrat that they have ever endorsed, and did that actually happen?
I have no idea as to who's endorsing me and who, if I'm the first or the second or the third. I have no idea what they're doing. All I know is that I got 230 public officials in my district that are supporting me and endorsing me, and that's my focus. My focus are making sure that I have people like the sheriffs and the judges and the mayors and the city council and county commissioners and tax assessors, treasurers that are endorsing me. My opponent has her folks that support her that are outside the area, and I have 230 plus public officials that are supporting me. Her money, if you look at Open Secrets, 1.4% of her money comes from inside the district. Everything else, 98.6% of her funding comes from outside outside mainly New York and California. So she gets money from outside the district, and I've been working on making sure I get support from inside the district.
So, but you do take money from outside the district, though, also, right?
Well, of course. But okay. The point I'm trying to make, Dave, is that she only gets 1.4% of her money from inside the district. That's it. It's outside money that's supporting. I mean, look at the $1.2 million that this group just are spending against me right now. So, I do get outside money, but my money comes from inside. And the other thing, what's interesting, besides her money coming in 1.4% only from the district and not having any local public officials that are supporting her. If you know of some local public official that's supporting her, let me know. I don't see that. But the other thing is,
Julian Castro endorsed her, right?
Inside the district. And by the way, I got Henry Cisneros, okay, Henry Cisneros, the other HUD secretary over Mr. Castro anytime. But the other thing is, she attacked me that saying that she was going to get the signatures to file her petition. You know what happened? She couldn't even get 500 signatures inside the district to sign in. So she ended up paying with a campaign check as she had been attacking me.
Okay. What I really want to do is help people who live in the district identify which candidate is best representative for them. And so you talk about how you actually have, you're the best one for the job because you reflect the district, right?
Absolutely. In fact, if you look at I've been running in this district, and I travel the district. I've represented the district. I'm the only member of Congress that has office hours in every city, no matter how big, whether it's San Antonio or whether it's Encinal or whether it's Floresville. We visit every single time. So in fact, we visited. We had 547. Office visits hour. No other member of Congress has been doing this like I've been doing this. Plus when I graduated from law school, I took my bar when I was still in law school, took my bar, passed my bar, graduated on a Sunday, got sworn in Monday as an attorney. And 2 days later, I was back over here in Laredo. I did not go to New York City, and I did not take my bar in New York. My bar is not a New York bar. It is a Texas bar. So I came here to practice. So again, I'm not here to respond to her attacks. I think my record speaks for myself. I've been able to produce when it comes to whether it's education, the Children Health Insurance Program, the Affordable Health Care Act, voted for to lower the prescription drugs. Education, I created the largest scholarship in Texas history. Now we've been putting money in the Pell Grants. transportation dollars. There's millions of dollars that have come to the San Antonio area, to the rest of my district. So again, you know, I'm not going to respond to her negative attacks. I think my record speaks for
itself. Sure, and I want to talk more about those things. First off, what kind of health insurance reform or this health care, what would you like to see happening? We hear Bernie Sanders talking about Medicare for all. Where are you on that?
I disagree with that socialized medicine that my opponent and Bernie Sanders have. Look, that's a $32 trillion cost, and it would eliminate your private insurance. So, Dave, if you have insurance right now, your insurance will be gone, will be eliminated under that plan, under that health care scheme, and you would have to go under socialized medicine. Rural hospitals and doctors, as I ask them what they think about this, they don't like it at all because what it means to them. So if you have private insurance, it will be eliminated. So I disagree with that $32 trillion health scheme that they're promoting. Now, what do I support? Well, first of all, as you know, talking about children, I've supported I created the first CHIP program in the state of Texas at the Farias Elementary School. Statewide, I supported that. I mean, I was the author of that, should I say. Drug prices. I voted for the House Bill 3 that would bring down prescription drugs. We're waiting for the Senate to do its part. I voted for the Affordable Health Care Act back in the 2009 year, and that's the way that we need to do. Do we need to make some fixes to it? Yes. So health care is important to me, but middle-class tax cuts are also important to me.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm talking with Henry Cuellar, the congressman from the 28th Congressional District. He's challenged for the Democratic nomination by Jessica Cisneros. We'll be joined by her live later in the program, and she'll take your questions. We're taking a break, and we'll be right back. Stay tuned. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. I'm speaking with Henry Cuellar, the congressman who represents the 28th Congressional District. It stretches from San Antonio down to Laredo, over to McAllen. He's being challenged by Jessica Cisneros, and we'll be hearing from her a little bit later. So, Congressman Cuellar, could you also talk about, since you've been on the Congress, a lot of activity on the border, a lot of interest. We got a new border wall. So where are you on the border wall, voting for the border wall?
Well, I'm against the wall. The wall is a 14th century solution to a 21st century problem. If you look, there are some links on my website that you will see that I am the only person that's ever sat in the White House with President Trump sitting right across the table, and I've told him that the wall doesn't work. So I took him on that issue, took on the Secretary of Homeland, Nielsen, at that time. I believe in border security. I want to make sure we hire enough Border Patrol. I want to make sure that we hire, you know, we have the technology to secure the border. I want to make sure that we work with the friends to the south, Mexico and Central America, because, I don't want to play defense on the one-yard line called the U.S.-Mexico border. I want to play defense on their 20-yard line. And therefore, the more we can do to have less people come into the U.S., then the better it is. I've in 2014, 2015, Kay Ranger and myself, we actually are the ones that added the $750 million for Central America to help stop the people from coming here. And every year I've been protecting that money to make sure that we do more to go to the root problems down there in Central America.
But what should we be doing about immigration reform, particularly seeing how the United States does need more labor?
Well, if you look at the latest census, you will see that the American population is aging. You will see that the birth rate has not grown the way it has in the past. So we're going to need workers. So therefore, if we have a full comprehensive immigration reform, that would help us get the jobs. I believe that, if you look at the Dreamers or DACA, those are people that have young kids that came here at no fault to themselves. They don't have a criminal record. They're working. They're going to school. Those are the type of individuals that we need here. So, yes, we need full immigration reform to make sure that our economy keeps growing.
But in Laredo, your hometown, you can see right next to the bridge, they've got those tents up for the immigration courts. I know that you've added more immigration judges to try to make the process work faster, but simultaneously we're doing this Remain in Mexico. How are you on that?
Well, first of all, when the administration was talking about spending $70 million on this tents for some company in New York from Rome, New York, we told them that was wrong. The city was willing to work with them and give them 18 months of a facility to for only $1 for those 18 months. But, again, the administration wanted to waste half of that, because half of it goes to Brownsville, $35 million that they were wasting taxpayers' money. So, there's been people like Vicente Gonzalez and myself and Filimon Vela that, we feel that, some of those folks can ask for the for their asylum also in their countries before they make that dangerous route or trip over to the United States.
The Green New Deal is also something that's been talked about, whether or not we don't even know what that really is. It's sort of a broad term, trying to have a transition off the petroleum carbon-based economy towards more renewables. What action do you support towards trying to deal with climate change and the Green New Deal?
Well, first of all, look, we all understand that we got to do something about climate change. The question is, how do you address that climate change? They want to do a new Green Deal, and this new Green Deal, actually, they want to make the changes in 10 years where they want to stop, any of the, any use of the energy businesses that we have right now. So if they do what they want to do, which my opponent wants to do, first of all, let's look what this does. It will cost $92 trillion. So, Dave, if you look at $92 trillion plus $92 trillion plus the $32 trillion of Medicare for All, you're talking about real money here. But this new Green Deal, this socialized type of view, it would take out 108,000 jobs in my district, 108,000 jobs in my district. And we look this numbers up. I want to protect places like Toyota in San Antonio. They want to eliminate Toyota. I mean, that's basically what they're saying, regardless of how they paint it. Plus, look at the valuations that we get from mineral interest. In one school district in Laredo, United Independent School District in Laredo, it would take $61 million away from the tax roll. Now, you tell me, Dave, what that means. That means that either they raise taxes for one school district in the amount of $61 million plus, or they cut expenses, which means they're going to cut thousands of teachers at the United Independent School District. This is the positions, the vast positions on Medicare for All or the New Green Deal, socialized viewpoints that we just do not agree with on this. So I will do everything to make sure that this socialist policies that my opponent and some of the people from New York, nothing against New York, but the socialist viewpoints that they're trying to impose here in South Texas. I'm going to stop them.
And so do you see your district as being as conservative in those views as you are, that you're just the carrier of that message? This is what the people in your district want?
I have represented my district for many years. I know that there are 108,000 oil and gas jobs in my position, and I will defend that. And UTSA has done that study before. If you look at UTSA, they've looked at the impact of the oil and gas industry. That's a number from them. So this study has been done by UTSA, and these are jobs that I'm trying to protect on the oil and gas industry that my opponent wants to eliminate. And this is something also that, if you look at it, I represent this area. I know trade. I mean, she's against the new trade agreement. She's against the trade agreement. Laredo, San Antonio, especially in an area like Laredo, the Valley, we depend on trade in so many ways. Laredo is the number one inland port. And when you say that you're not sure about this trade agreement and you're not for it, then you're out of tune. She is out of step on the energy part. She's out of step on socialized medicine. She's out of step on trade. I mean, if you ask her about the role of Border Patrol, and this is a quote from her, and she basically asked her, somebody asked her on Mother Jones, what's your view of your vision of Border Patrol and your new economy under the new Green Deal? Quote, if those people like being out there, being out on the field, then why don't we have them regulate the river for the environment? And that goes the same for the oil and gas employees. So are you telling me you're going to get those people from the oil and gas or Border Patrol to go out there and regulate the environment at the Rio Grande? This is the viewpoint that these people are trying to impose in our area. So again, I'm on a positive message. I have produced for San Antonio. I produced for Bexar County. I produced for Wilson County, Atascosa, McMullen, LaSalle, Webb County, Star, Zapata, and Hidalgo. People know what I stand for, and they've been supporting me for many years, and they're going to do it again.
The congressional district, the 28th congressional district, it voted, as you probably well know, Clinton 58% of the vote, Donald Trump 38% of the vote. Some people see that as an indicator that the district might actually be a little more progressive than you give it credit for.
Well, if you look at the let me give you another thing you ought to look at, Dave. Look at the race between Hillary Clinton and Sanders. And I think that's a better look instead of looking at Democrat versus Republican. But if you look at the Bernie Sanders got 26% against Hillary Clinton. Look at that race in my congressional district. So forget about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Look at Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. And he got 26%. Those are the numbers that you ought to look at since we got a Democrat running and we got a socialist in this primary. And that's what I'm looking at. So, again, I'm not going to be responding to her attacks. My record speaks for itself. Education, health care, transportation, jobs, jobs, jobs. That's what I'm that's what I've been pushing for years. Education, health care, and jobs.
You know, I know the district pretty well. It has a lot of needs, and you see that create an environment for more jobs. That's the way to help provide for Laredo, Webb County, all the other counties.
Absolutely. I mean, that's just why I support the energy, because of 108,000 jobs. Look up the UTSA report. This is why I support NAFTA, and my opponent is against energy. She's against NAFTA because of the thousands of jobs that they have. I mean, the Eagle Ford has generated more than $87 billion economic output since 2013. $87 billion. Now, you are going to tell me that her vision to eliminate $87 billion of an output or 108,000 jobs is the vision for this congressional district? No, she's wrong. She's going to say that, you know, she's against trade. You tell all the trucking, freight forwarders, logistics, custom brokers, that's what we're looking at. So this is why, you know, my message has been very, very positive. You know, all she's been doing is attacking, and I'm not going to respond to her attacks. My record speaks for myself, for itself. It's again, education, jobs, and of course, healthcare. And I got a record on all that. CHIP program, I'm the author of the CHIP program here in the state of Texas. Education, I'm the author of the Texas Grant, larger scholarship, and same thing I've been doing at the Pell Grants at the federal level. Jobs, all you have to do is look at the jobs that I've created here, helped create here. I mean, look at the unemployment rate that we have here on Texas on the border. It's one of the lowest unemployment rates that we've had for many years. So again, education, healthcare, and jobs is what my focus is. And if they want to just attack, that's up to them. I'm going on a positive message. They can go on a negative message.
Many Democrats do want their congressional representative to join in the efforts to hold President Donald Trump accountable and at least make him recognize that Congress is a co-equal branch of our government and that we're supposed to have checks and balances. You did vote for the impeachment, but you were one of the last people to signal which way you were going to go on that. Was that a tough vote for you?
No, it was an easy vote. But let me tell you something, Dave. If you went before a judge, you, Dave Davis, and would you want the judge, before you even presented the case, to say, Dave, you're guilty, I'm ruling against you, but let me give you my side. No, I find you guilty. I take my job very seriously. As an attorney, I was trained in Texas. I'm a Texas trained attorney. That before you make a decision, you listen to one side, you listen to the other side, you listen to one side, you listen to the other side. You look at the facts, you look at the evidence, and after I did that, I made my decision. And that's why. So when they say that I took my time, yes, of course I took my time, because as a good attorney trained in Texas, I learned that you know, what you got to do is you got to make sure. I don't know what they teach in the Brooklyn attorneys. I have no idea what they teach in New York, but in Texas, you listen to the facts, you listen to the testimony, and then you make a decision.
All right. Congressman Henry Cuellar, it was great talking with you again. And you are on the ballot, as early voting has begun for the 28th Congressional District in the Democratic primary.
Dave, it's a pleasure. You and I go back a long way. You do your job. You do a very good job. And thank you for putting this type of forum together. Thank you so much, Dave.
Thank you very much. And when we come back from the break, we'll be joined by Jessica Cisneros. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay tuned.
Support for this podcast comes from Sunshine Cottage's Noche del Sol, a fiesta kickoff event with Mexican food, entertainment, and deleritas, plus a raffle and auctions to benefit the school for deaf children. March 26th, 6 p.m. More at sunshinecottage.org.
Elementary school students with Spanish surnames in 1950s Driscoll, Texas, were held back for 3 years in first grade.
And so they made the argument that we have to segregate within the school in order to protect the white kids. We have to segregate them from kids that speak Spanish.
Their story is told in the film Stolen Education. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking with the two Democratic primary candidates for the 28th Congressional District of Texas. It's an area that covers South San Antonio, down to Laredo, over to the McAllen area. The current Congressman Henry Cuellar is seeking re-election. He has drawn a primary challenger, Jessica Cisneros. We just heard from Cuellar, and now we're in the studio live with Cisneros, and she's able to take your questions. And you can call in. The number is 210-614-8980. To be clear, we did offer Cuellar the opportunity to come into the studio live and do a live forum with Cisneros, but he declined the opportunity to be live on the air. But we did have that interview, and we aired that for you just now. Early voting is now underway for Super Tuesday, and the last day to early vote will be February 28th. Primary day is March 3rd. And welcome, Jessica Cisneros, to The Source. Great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
And so tell the listeners, and again, the phone number is 210-614-8980. If you have a question for Jessica Cisneros, why are you running? Tell them about yourself, people who haven't met you.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Laredo, Texas. I experienced firsthand many of the challenges that we're still facing to this day. I'm the proud daughter of Mexican immigrants, like so many folks in South Texas. And I decided to be an immigration attorney because I was very inspired by this beautiful cross-cultural area of the country that I was born into, and also very aware that my parents were beneficiaries of immigration reform themselves. Back in the 80s, they came here because my sister needed an urgent medical operation that was very high risk. So they found a doctor in Houston that was willing to perform it. And during that time, they were working in the fields. And because of that, they were eligible for green cards under the 1986 immigration reform. And I saw how impactful that piece of legislation had on my family, because it gave the Cisneros family a chance at the American dream. And growing up, I always wanted to be an advocate for my community, and I just felt that being in the courtroom was going to be a way that I could have that impact and, you know, help families that look like mine. But under the Trump administration, I've been doing immigrants advocacy work since 2012. That was back when DACA started. It was a very different, you know, conversation about immigration at the national level. And then compared to what has happened in recent years, it became incredibly heartbreaking and frustrating. And to me, it was outrageous that in my very blue district where Hillary Clinton did win by 20 points in the last presidential election, we had someone that was basically voting with Trump 70% of the time in the last Congress, and that, you know, was enabling his agenda. I was asked to run by my community. It was actually my high school teacher who led that effort. And I decided to step up and believe in myself, just the way I believe in the people of South Texas, and how when we're given an opportunity, we always rise up to the challenge.
We just heard from Henry Cuellar. He said he disputed that 70% ratio, that percentage that's been given out there, that he's voted with the Trump administration. So can you support that?
Yes. If you do a Google search, you'll find many studies about the past Congress. What he usually tries to do, what Cuellar tries to do, is say that that's not the case, because in this Congress, he's voted about 50% with Trump. Not that it's much better. But yes, in the last Congress, when he had the ability as a member of Congress to hold the Trump administration accountable, he refused to do so.
So the central argument, the thing that will be decided with this primary, is this district more progressive than the way that Henry Cuellar represents it? And is it progressive enough to support you? And I know there's a lot to overcome in order to actually get to that question, because we have the incumbency of Henry Cuellar, who's run for this area. I mean, he's been on the ballot in Laredo for over 20 years. I mean, and so, but how are you able to determine that this, the what you represent, the policies that you want to put forth, are really what's best for the district?
This is where having a true ear to the ground is invaluable, right? And pulling from my personal experience of being from the district, and seeing how there's a disconnect between policies that are, you know, being, or the conversations that are being had in Washington, and how that isn't necessarily something that we have a say so. For me, I know that policies like, you know, making sure what policies that are deemed progressive, which I need to mention this, back home, like in South Texas, we tend to shy away from labels. We tend to look at the substance of things. And it's not about progressive versus conservative or liberal versus moderate. It's
or
more
socialist.
About, or socialist,
I mean, you
right?
were called a socialist.
Yes, my opponent is taking a page from the Trump and Republican playbook and is calling me a socialist, which I believe is him fear-mongering. But when we actually go down to the substance of these policies, like, this is something that people can get behind. The idea, for example, of Medicare for all, I tend to first talk about what the policy means, because it's not like Henry Cuellar has been having a conversation about having healthcare as a right in our district. So let's talk about it, right? So we end up talking about the substance. I talk about my personal experience of having lost an aunt to cancer because we just couldn't afford care. And that reality is true for so many South Texan families. And it's something that indicates that the system is broken if we're having to bury our loved ones because we cannot afford care. People know that we pay a lot in taxes, and they think, well, what revolutionary idea of actually having our taxes work for us and invest in us instead of having tax cuts for large corporations and the ultra wealthy, right? When you come at it that way, which, again, I'm able to do so and my team is able to do so because we're mostly people from our district, it resonates so strongly with people in the community. And I know Henry Cuellar knows that, and that's why he's afraid of meeting me in a debate stage.
Right. How about these scary numbers that were being thrown around when we asked Representative Cuellar about expanding, you know, health care for everyone? Trillions and trillions of dollars, talking about the Green New Deal, you know, trillions and trillions of dollars. He's saying that this is just something that we cannot afford.
So for us, for example, you got to talk about what this is actually going to be in practice, right? Moving to a single payer model. Right now, an average family spends about $12,000 on insurance. And under Medicare for All, it would actually, you know, eliminate co-pays, deductibles, premiums, and would put $3,000 back into the pockets of workers. Again, I think this is just him taking these big, scary numbers and throwing them out there to try to scare people into thinking we deserve better and realizing that we deserve better. And we know, you know, that we do deserve better. But he's playing into these fear-mongering tactics to, you know, prevent people from reaching out for change. I think that, you know, his corporate, the money he's receiving from corporate PACs also has a play into all of this. Again, I think that's one of the biggest distinctions between my campaign and his campaign is how we're financing it. We're running a completely, you know, people-powered grassroots campaign. We're not taking a single cent from corporate PACs so that we are actually able to fight for initiatives and policies that would actually bring benefits to people in our district.
He says that the Green New Deal will kill jobs. Eagle Ford Shale, that's right there in the sweet spot of the district. Although right now with oil at $50 a barrel, you're not going to see a whole lot of activity. But he's saying a Green New Deal would kill those jobs.
Again, that's fear-mongering. I also want to note that I got the endorsement from the Texas AFL-CIO. That includes a lot of people, including people that do have jobs in the oil and gas industry. And the reason why I was able to win over their support was because I am promising that I'm never going to back a version of the Green New Deal that doesn't talk about how to transition those workers into good paying jobs that aren't dependent on the fossil fuel industry. I was born and raised in Laredo that has a 30% poverty rate. I experienced that poverty rate when I was growing up, and I saw my parents having to work through two or three jobs to make ends meet. I know what it's like not knowing where, if you're going to be able to make ends meet at the end of the week. I don't want any family to have to go through that. And I understand where people's concerns come from. You know, this is a job that's providing for their family right now. But at the same time, our South Texan values are hard work and familia. And we want to be able to address the climate crisis in the scope and magnitude that we need to, because we know it is a crisis. It's a concern. And we need to do something about it for our families. What kind of world we're going to be leaving, you know, the next generation. When you're talking about hard work, that's where the people of South Texas rise up. And that's how I believe in my people. And we know what the challenge is. And now it's a matter of working toward addressing it.
That's Jessica Cisneros. She's a candidate for the 28th Congressional District of Texas in the Democratic primary, running against Henry Cuellar. We heard from the incumbent Henry Cuellar earlier in the program. We're taking a break right now. When we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980. If you've got a question for candidate Cisneros, call in 210-614-8980. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. One of the big races in the Super Tuesday primary that people are watching across the country, they're focusing on this primary for the Texas 28th Congressional District. Incumbent Henry Cuellar has been challenged by Jessica Cisneros. Jessica Cisneros says this district is actually much more progressive than how Henry Cuellar represents it in Congress. And we'll see when we have the votes tallied. But right now, let's go to the phone lines. Numbers 210-614-8980. Let's Jacob. Hey, Jacob, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. Jessica, can you talk a little bit about the PRO Act, and would you have supported it if you were in Congress? Thank you.
All right, Jacob, thank you for the call. And the PRO Act, that's a labor issue, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So that's an excellent question, because when we're talking about being bipartisan, this is where you can see what Henry Cuellar's brand of bipartisanship is. His brand of bipartisanship is basically putting the Democrat stamp of approval on Republican legislation. The PRO Act is a piece of legislation that would make it easier for workers to be able to strengthen collective bargaining laws and override right-to-work laws as well, which are pervasive here in Texas. So it would allow workers to be able to better negotiate for, you know, better wages, better safety standards in the workplace, better benefits, which is great because, again, in this district where there's a 24% poverty rate, anything we can do to support workers is necessary. This was a true piece of bipartisan legislature, had support from both sides of the aisle, but Congressman Cuellar decided to not support it. And here is where you can see who he's actually working for. He was focusing on this issue about how it would affect franchises. And if you actually take a look into his report and see where he gets his money from, you'll see a lot of corporate interests that it was to their benefit that he voted against the piece of legislation. I would have supported the PRO Act. I've been very outspoken about my support of it because I have seen what unions do for their workers, and I want more of that in my own district.
It's been said that if you get elected to Congress, that you would be the next Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat from New York City, who's attracted a lot of attention. Do you accept that comparison? Is that fair?
That's the third time I've answered that question today. it's interesting because I think that's indicative of a diversity issue of the voices that are in the halls of Congress. Obviously, we're getting that comparison because there's not that many young Latino women in office, right? And I think it's our responsibility that once we are in there, the people that do get elected that look like us, we hold the door open for many other Latino women to be there, because even here in Texas, you know, we didn't have a first Latina congresswoman until just the last cycle.
Another caller, and Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Oh, we lost the call, but the note from the producer says she wanted to know about your stance on the border wall and how would you fight it?
We, obviously, being a district that is on the border, we're directly affected by President Trump's calls for a border wall. We've already had areas in our district where the border wall is being built, mainly Starr and Hidalgo counties. And, you know, when I talk to landowners there, they're incredibly upset because they're facing the possibility of getting their land taken away where they've lived on there for six generations through their families. For us, the border wall is completely unnecessary. I know Cuellar says that he's, you know, spoken against the wall, but in reality, he's voted to fund it twice, once in 2018, and the most recent vote for that was in 2019. So he can say one thing, but if his voting record shows something else, then that obviously shows, you know, how honest or dishonest he is.
Now, the caller, Mike, is on the phones. Mike, and the number is 210-614-8980 if you get a question for candidate Jessica Cisneros. And, Mike, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm concerned about water. You know, what are we going to need? We're going to need it for industry, for national defense, for so many reasons. I mean, I think we need more surface water, especially since our lake bottoms are getting overdeveloped. You know, our good sites for lakes are getting overdeveloped. Shouldn't that be a priority?
Mike, thank you for the call. Water is always a big issue in South Texas, which is an arid area.
Yes. We are making sure, I think this is an opportunity when we're talking about the Green New Deal, right? Making sure that we are having access to clean water is important. Just recently, a few months ago, my hometown of Laredo, Texas, which has a population about 260,000 people, we weren't able to drink our water because there was a water boil notice. It was, you know, due to some faulty infrastructure and some other issues. But when we're talking about the Green New Deal, we can also address it that way through infrastructure. And in fact, that's one of the ways that I want to help our community by investing in ourselves in a way that when we're investing in infrastructure, that also means jobs. So I think there's a lot of issues here where there's a nexus where we can, you know, address many issues with one tactic. And I think this is an excellent opportunity for that. And yes, I mean, water has always been a huge issue in South Texas with all the droughts. And a lot of that comes from climate change as well.
Now, gun issues, what are we going to do about guns? We've had a lot of mass shootings now here in Texas as well. Where are you on trying to do something about guns?
This is another issue where the congressman tends to do a lot of fear-mongering that I'm here to take people's guns away. That's mostly because he is the last Texas Democrat that has an A rating from the NRA. Well, for us, we know that we need to do something because it's our communities, the ones that are being, you know, unfortunately attacked and are hurt by the loose gun legislation that we have right now. We saw it happen in El Paso, where, you know, the shooter drove all the way to El Paso from Dallas, the Dallas area. And a lot of people in my community were shocked because we kept thinking, well, Laredo was closer, the valley was closer, like it could have happened here. Obviously, for us, we need to make sure that there's a ban on assault weapons. Those are the ones, like, it's not necessary for hunting in the way that it needs to be done for sport. The same thing with, the magazines, right? Like, you don't need a magazine that has more than 30 rounds in it for hunting. So those are the issues that I think, obviously, increasing with the background checks as well, making sure we're closing loopholes there, the boyfriend loophole, making sure that we're also addressing this, not just through gun legislation, but making sure we have access to mental health care as well, which is something that we're also fighting for when we're talking about Medicare for All, because it's border communities as well that don't have access to this kind of health care. So it has to be a comprehensive approach.
The United States is in a constitutional crisis, as we keep hearing about how the imperial presidency, that he has power, his power is above the executive, the legislative branch and the judicial branch. This is a theory that's being proposed now. But, you know, we have been taught in school that it's supposed to be co-equal branches of government. And the legislature has been criticized for not being assertive enough to reclaim its authority. And some people are wondering, like, should we send people to Congress who will be able to restore checks and balances? So what would you do about that?
I think so, especially right now, right? Because the House is basically the firewall between, you know, the administration and whatever it is that it wants to do and terrorize communities of color, including my own. And I saw, like, for example, you know, the congressman drag his feet on impeachment. It's funny that the congressman keeps emphasizing Brooklyn-trained lawyers, because that was actually trained here in Texas. A lot of my work was here in Texas. I am a proud graduate of the University of Texas School of Law, which I know he's an alum from as well. So I got the same education and was trained the same way he was. So it's interesting to see him, you know, dragging his feet on impeachment when, or saying that, you know, the procedure about him being a judge and wanting all the information, actually, that's what the Senate was supposed to do with the trial, right? When members of Congress take an oath, they take an oath to uphold the Constitution, and that includes the checks and balances. So it's unfortunate to see Congressman Cuellar having to drag his feet, and he only voted for the impeachment. It was only after we had our folks, you know, activate the community and make sure they called in and told him that they wanted to see him vote on impeachment.
Last caller, this is Barut. Barut, welcome, Barut. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Barut. I'm a campaign supporter and donor. Jessica, thanks for taking my call. I was wondering how we can enforce our border while staying humane to immigrants and honoring asylum claims, but, you know, respond to
Got it. We're really short on time, so I understand he's asking about border humanity, still having safe borders, not open borders, but how do you balance that?
Definitely. I mean, there was already a process set in place. I just think that under the Trump administration, it's been exacerbated. One of the clear distinctions that my opponent and I have is that I actually have, you know, several years of immigration experience that I can pull from. I'm excited to think about being on the Homeland Security Committee, because I think being from a border district and having this professional experience just fits well into that. I think that issuing notices to appear to the people that are coming here so they can actually fight their cases in court and grant them due process is important, instead of the sham due process procedures that we have right now under the Remain in Mexico program.
Do you think, we got about a minute left, if you become the nominee for the race, that you are able to provide for a better quality of life for the people who live in your district?
Definitely. And I think that, you know, here's where the congressman tries to talk about him being on the powerful Appropriations Committee. I would ask the congressman, well, sir, if you had so much power in the committee, then why do we still have a 30% poverty rate in Laredo? Why is there still a 24% poverty rate throughout the entire district? Why are so many people, literally a quarter of the people, uninsured in our district? I would love to have those conversations in person. It's unfortunate that you're having to attack me through tens of thousands of dollars spent on smear attacks. But, sir, I'm more than happy to have those conversations because that's what our district deserves.
Jessica Cisneros is a candidate for the Democratic nomination for the 28th Congressional District of Texas. She is challenging the incumbent, Henry Cuellar. Early voting is now underway. March 3rd is primary day, Super Tuesday. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.